Welcome everyone to Parenting Your Learning Challenged Child Summit. I'd like to welcome and introduce our expert, Bonnie Terry. Bonnie Terry is a best-selling author, a board-certified educational therapist, and a dyslexia and ADHD expert. She is internationally recognized as America's leading learning specialist and the founder of BonnieTerryLearning.com. Bonnie is an expert in identifying students' learning disabilities and learning difficulties. She also provides a variety of online programs where she coaches teachers and parents on strategies to give their children a 2 to 4 year learning advantage in just 20 minutes a day. Bonnie is a frequent media guest and speaker. Hi, Bonnie.
Hey there. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you so much for being here. Bonnie, you've brought together some powerful research on the processes of how the five senses work, and specifically how it applies to dyslexia. Can you share that research with us?
Sure. It's so interesting when I see that national statistics show that 70% of students are not proficient in reading, writing, and math, you know, 7 out of 10 kids, so you're not alone if your kids are struggling. And I'm going, well, why? What is going on? Why is it that so many kids are struggling? And what I've found out over the years is that there are actually some underlying root causes of learning problems that were not being addressed. Parents and sometimes even teachers don't realize what the real learning problem is. And so that being said, we all know that we gain information through the senses. We have the sense of taste and the sense of smell and hearing, seeing, and doing. Well, we understand, and it's easy to see, there's a lot of different tastes. I can taste potato chips and popcorn if I want something salty, or brownies if I want something sweet, or lemon for something sour. We have sweet, sour, salty, and bitter. We understand that. That's easy. There are a lot of different tastes. Same token, we have a lot of different smells. We can smell cooking, baking, or a turkey dinner roasting. We can smell spoiled food. We can smell fresh cut grass. We can smell flowers. We can smell ammonia and other cleansers. And it's, of course, we all go, of course, yes. You know, that's push the easy button. But on the same token, we do get information from hearing, seeing, and doing. Just like taste and smell have different subcategories, the vision system, the auditory system, and the tactile kinesthetic system each have 9 areas. So we have 27 areas of perception that are impacting learning. So when learning is hard, and you can be gifted and have something interfering, or if you have dyslexia, it's due to one or more of those areas not working as well as they could, should, and can. And the key word there is can. These are learned skills, so they can improve. I've seen it over and over and over again. I've been teaching over 40 years. These areas can improve. When you understand what's going on, then you can address it and life gets easier.
Right. So I think a really important thing that you mentioned is the fact that you can have dyslexia or another learning disability and still be gifted or academically strong in other areas.
Yes.
Just because you are a gifted student doesn't mean you don't have a learning challenge, because I think some people forget that.
Exactly.
And
so many of the kids that I work with, they're bright kids.
Yeah.
They're really bright kids, but they're struggling. It's like, why?
So, Bonnie, how can parents use this information you're giving as a hard strategy in their toolbox?
Well, once you understand what's going on, and that's the key, is to figure out exactly what is interfering, then you can just do some simple exercises anywhere between 5 minutes to 15 and 20 minutes a day, and learning gets a lot easier. It's really funny. I have 3 kids, and they all tested to be gifted, and each one had a learning issue. And with my son, it was several areas of visual processing. Once we identified them and addressed them by doing simple exercises, life got so much easier. I mean, the homework wars we went through before we addressed it were horrific. I'd even have stomach aches. You know, come August, oh, gosh, school's going to start and the homework wars are going to start. It's a gifted kid and he's struggling with homework. What's going on? well, like I say, he had areas of visual processing that were impacting. So I made him do the exercises, and, you know, as he speaks about it 5 years after the fact, he said, "Hey, Mom, you remember those stupid exercises you made me do?" I said, "Yeah, they really worked." I said, "I know. Don't you remember how much easier homework got and school got?" "Oh, yeah." So, you know, they're simple exercises that you can do. It's just amazing. Simple things like drinking water. Not drinking the sweet stuff, the colored waters, things like that, but just drinking water will make a huge difference. But water comprises about 90% of the brain and 70% of the body. So when you drink water before and during class, it kind of helps grease the wheel, so to speak. You drink water while you're doing homework. And sometimes people say, "Yeah, but then I'm going to have to go to the bathroom all the time, and the teacher's going to have a fit because I have to go to the bathroom." And my answer is, actually, that's a good thing, because you get to get up and move and recharge your vision system, auditory system, tactile kinesthetic system when you get up and move and go to the restroom. You'll end up being more productive in the classroom when you do take a frequent break. The more critical piece is to be keeping your brains and bodies hydrated. They did a study, actually multiple studies, that started off with soldiers carrying big pack when they were in the desert. They did a study with them being hydrated versus dehydrated and their performance. And they went, "Oh, this is interesting. And so let's see how it's going to impact kids in learning." So they took kids in New York and in Chicago area and in L.A., and those that had water in the morning outperformed those that didn't. And so at breakfast time, we always are thinking, you know, the milk and the juice, and it's not that those aren't good, but we want to be sure that you're drinking water, even having water on the way to school or first thing once they get there. And if you think about it, this really makes sense, because water can go directly into the bloodstream. It does not have to go through the digestive system to hydrate the body. Anything else has to go through the digestive system, and so there's going to be a delayed reaction. And with water, it is pretty darn immediate. And if you get to the point of being thirsty, you are actually dehydrated. As much as just 2 cups of water, your body being shy, 2 cups of water makes it much harder for you to make the neural connections in the brain. And so that's one of the first things that parents can do. Obviously, there's a lot of others, but that's a real biggie.
And that's such a simple thing for a parent to put into their toolkit. It's very easy for them to do, very portable.
Exactly, exactly. You know, I mean, there are other things that I think we'll get into as we get further into this.
Yeah. Could you explain how dyslexia impacts learning, and specifically how it impacts spelling for students?
Sure. One of the real interesting things regarding spelling is that I have a friend who has written a spelling book, as I have written several spelling books. And she has a system where you are looking at the picture and then at the word, and you kind of take a picture of it to help you to retain it. And that's a good strategy. But spelling is not just a visual thing. It's also an auditory processing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of spelling programs out there where they're teaching like 30 spelling rules, and it drives me crazy because most of my kids with dyslexia, and this is extremely common, they have either auditory memory or visual memory problems in addition to other areas of perception not working as well as they could, should, and can. And so to expect them to be memorizing 30-plus spelling rules is setting them up for failure. It's just too much to remember. With memory, even to take a picture of it, it's going to help a little bit, but it's not going to help as much as you want, because you're still not going to retain it because you have that memory issue.
Yeah. And 30 spelling rules doesn't make it fun. Like, I like to try and make learning as fun as I can for
my students.
I really enjoyed school and learning, and I really want them to find an area that is enjoyable for them, and 30 roles is just
It's overwhelm.
Yeah.
So what I do is I spent years researching this, and we actually only put letters together 8 ways. Every word is comprised of one or more of those 8 ways. So
right.
You only have 8 things to remember. It's much easier. And so if you want to help your kids with spelling, you really want to do a spelling program that is going to be teaching those 8 ways, plus be an auditory, visual, tactile method. Because if you are improving the auditory system, visual system, and tactile system while you're doing it, you're going to have a win-win situation. Spelling will become much, much easier. And we have, in addition to visual and auditory memory skills being impacting spelling, there's auditory discrimination, auditory visual integration, auditory visual coordination, visual discrimination, form constancy. You know, there's all these things that are impacting you. And so it's like, okay, do you want to be set up for failure, or do you want to be addressing these areas at the same time as you're doing your spelling lesson, where you only have to remember 8 things and we only teach 1 at a time, and we have multiple lessons with each pattern so that you will retain it, and we're really strengthening all the systems at the same time. It's just a different way of doing things, and when you have learning issues, it's critical that you are using processes that are going to be strengthening those areas that aren't working as well as they could, should, and can while you're teaching the specific skill. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So then, Bonnie, what can parents do at home to help their children with their learning?
Well, I've already told you about water, but I'm going to talk a little bit first about some things that you need to be looking at, and then I'm going to give you some additional strategies. So one of the first things that parents can do to help their kids is to be a little bit of a detective so that you can understand what's going on and what you can do to help your kids. And so I want everybody to be doing this right now and just say to yourself yes, no, or sometimes. I'm going to give you some questions. Does your child, or did they a year or two before, or do they now, take too long to do their schoolwork? Do they skip, repeat, substitute, or mispronounce words when reading aloud? Do they have poor reading comprehension? Do they have difficulty taking notes? Do they have sloppy handwriting? Do they reverse letters and or words like B's and D's, was and saw? Do they misread information? Do they avoid reading aloud? So if you answered yes to 3 or more of those, your child does have a problem in one specific area of visual processing. And if that happened often, when you finished reading, you wouldn't always remember what you had read. So I want you to think about this sentence. Susan can go to the store. And then you finish reading the selection, and you go to the questions a page or two later, and there's a question that says, why couldn't Susan go to the store? And you go, wait. I read Susan can go to the store. The sentence doesn't make any sense to you. The question doesn't make any sense to you. So then you go back and you reread and you reread and you reread. So you're working a lot harder than you should have to because the question doesn't make any sense. But what the sentence actually said was Susan can't go to the store. Your eyes skipped the apostrophe T. The whole meaning was lost.
Right.
And again, this is just one area. And out of my over 40 years of teaching, over 90% of my kids had the specific area that was a problem, you know, and so it really does make a difference. One of my students, Adam, he was in high school, and he was very bright, and he struggled with writing. He was spending 15 hours a week on writing assignments. I can't comprehend that. You're in school all day long, and then 15 hours a week on writing assignments, and still he had science and math as well as band practice. I mean, it was amazing. So his first day, I had him write a summary for me. It was a page long. He filled in every line on the page, 25 lines. It didn't make any sense at all. There were only 2 sentences punctuated on the page. By the time I got to the bottom, I had no idea what he had wrote. It was like gobbledygook. You couldn't make heads or tails of it. And what the problem was is he had a variety of areas of perception as well as organizational issues and grammar issues that were hindering his work. He couldn't even read his own writing. Work was a mess. But what we did, it started him work in the program. He not only improved his writing, but he improved it so much that he ended up being on the high school newspaper when he was a senior. I almost fell off my chair. How did you go from this to that? It was amazing. So it doesn't matter what your age is. When you have areas of vision, auditory, tactile, kinesthetic perception that aren't working as well as they should, could, and can, they're working 2, 3, 4 times harder than they need to. And this is important because perception can become more efficient. We've got visual tracking along with 26 other areas of perception that can improve. So in addition to being a detective, then there are other specific things. And some of them we call brain efficiency exercises because they're going to give you greater access to your brain working more efficiently. And so we do some warm-up exercises, one of which, of course, is going to be drinking water. There are other specific things. Sometimes there's some specific types of breathing exercises. It's not just taking in a deep breath, but I want you to put your tongue behind your top teeth, and you're going to inhale to a count of 4, hold it to a count of 7, and then exhale to a count of 8. And you want to be doing 2 or 3 of those, and you can do them when you sit down to do your homework. When you're changing from one subject to the next, just do 2 or 3 breaths. That's going to give you, and we always think in terms of we want to have enough oxygen in the brain, but what we really want is the correct carbon dioxide-oxygen mix. When that is in the correct mix, our body is in a more relaxed state, and so we're able to learn with greater ease. So like I say, we have a whole bunch of different brain efficiency exercises that we teach. The next thing is, that a parent wants to do is to choose a comprehensive learning program that has all the components that you or your child needs to address the underlying problems that are interfering with their learning. We want to do learning activities that are rich in skills that address the underlying root cause, but also that you can have fun with. Learning, like you were saying, you want to be have it interesting, and you do want it to be a little challenging, but it needs to be fun. We don't want drudgery, painful, or stressful. I want fun. You know, I want to be able to do this.
That was easy.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, and that's important. So, you know, I'm going to give you 3 specific activities. The first is reading fluency. This is one of the most important things that parents can do, and it only takes 5 minutes a day to do. In fact, studies have been done at the University of Florida on different types of fluency programs, and some of them were spending a half an hour, some were spending an hour, and then some were doing the 5 minutes a day. And they found that those that were 5 minutes a day over a long period of time, they got a lot more progress and advancement than spending 30 minutes or an hour a day. And so short increments is going to be best. So we use 5 minutes to better reading skills. It only takes 5 minutes a day. The second activity, and this is a wonderful one that you can do and that you're actually already doing with your kids, because as parents, we do things with our kids, but we're going to have a twist to it. So as a family, you take field trips. You go to the zoo, the local park, the pool, the river, local factories. You also even the grocery store or the mall, any of those. I mean, we take our kids places.
Yep.
But the twist is I want you to take some pictures when you're there, and then when you get home, either that day or the next day, use a graphic organizing fill-in-the-blank form. Get those words, fill-in-the-blank, so it's easy for kids. And so they write down what you did and what your favorite part was. And then you can compile your pictures with them. They can even draw some extra pictures. And you end up putting it into a family scrapbook. You've got a wonderful family memory. And then once a month or so, you can kind of just as a family, just like we used to, and I always tease the kids, in the olden days when I was little, we'd go through the family photo albums and go, oh, remember this, remember that? That's going to be building writing skills, comprehension skills, and memory skills. And when you have those memory skills in place, you have a much broader factual knowledge base. over the years when I've assessed kids, which I still do, but as I assess them, every student that had low factual knowledge had low auditory and visual memory. And not, again, it's not that we're giving them the experiences, but they're not retaining it. So in order to help them retain it, they need to write a little bit. I'm not talking volumes, just a few sentences. And draw a picture or put a picture that you took with it, and that's going to help build those writing skills, comprehension skills, and memory skills, as well as you're having great family time together. And then the third activity is going to be playing games, playing learning games. You know, have a game night or a game day. Choose your games wisely, because not all games are as great at teaching a little skill while you're playing. You can still have fun, but you can also be teaching some skills. And so some of them that we like are the comprehension zone, the math zone, the sentence zone. In fact, I have a huge list, but the comprehension zone, the math zone, and the sentence zone are all available on my website, BonnieCherryLearning.com. It's just an important piece. We want to play, but we want to be sure that the kids are learning too. And these are games that they play with you, you know, as a family, sitting around the table. They're not just on an iPad or an iPhone doing something digital by themselves. We want to be building the modeling skills. We want to be building how do we interact with each other. How do we become a good loser or a good winner? All of those things are critical pieces for life skills.
And then it's double duty, like you said, learning and family time.
Exactly, awesome. Exactly.
So could you share now some suggestions about parent-teacher conferencing for everyone?
Sure. Parent-teacher conferences typically are in the fall, and then they have another round in the spring. And that's a perfect time for you to check in and see how your kids are doing. You know, have they been doing their homework? Are they working during the class time, or are they drifting off? Are they struggling with their homework? Do your kids like school? There's a ton of questions. Homework is important for kids to learn planning skills. And most people and most teachers don't even realize that. That's the actual reason for homework, is for the kids to learn planning skills. Can they bring the assignment home, gather the materials they need to do the assignment? Can they figure out when they're going to do the homework and actually do it? Can they then pack it up, return it to school, and turn it in? These questions all need to be addressed, in addition to the fact of, can your kids actually do the assignment, or are they stymied by it because it's, you know, way beyond their skills? You know, so parent-teacher conference time is not just about hearing what your teacher has to say. It's also about what you say to the teacher, so your teacher can best help your child and you can help best your child. You're a partner with the teacher in your child's education, and so when both partners know what's going on, your child benefits. And this is just one other piece, and then I'll give you a little bit more info. You can call for a parent-teacher conference at any time. You really don't have to wait until, quote, parent-teacher conference time to have a conference. If anytime you feel a need throughout the year, you know, if you want to have 10, have 10. It's perfectly fine. You can do that. There's some specific things that teachers need to be aware of in order to help the kids that they may not be aware of. For example, and most people don't think about this, but if your child has allergies, they're likely to have plugged up ears, and so they're missing bits and pieces of the instruction. A teacher usually realizes when a kid is stuffed up, but they're not always making that connection of, oh, that's why they're not paying attention. Oh, that's why they weren't able to follow that instruction. They just don't always think in those kinds of terms. I know I even forgot that one of my first years of teaching, one of the kids constantly was stuffed up. You'd think you'd make that connection, duh. But I didn't always.
Right.
So pointing those things out will help. Prepare for conference time. The kinds of things that you want to be sure and have the teacher be aware of. Again, your kids can be gifted and they might still be spending 4 or 5 hours a night on homework. And the teachers are clueless to this. They don't realize. And that happened with one of my kids when he was in the fifth grade. And I went into the teacher. I said, I don't know if you realize, but he's spending 5 hours a night on this. And she said, you're kidding.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man, no. After 30 minutes, stop them. And, of course, I try to stop them after 30 minutes. But, Mom, and I'm like, trust me. And I'm writing a note. I'm stopping you after 30 minutes. I'm talking about 30 minutes of work. I'm not talking about 30 minutes, half of which are procrastinating or running to the bathroom or whatever. I mean, 30 minutes of work time. And then the teacher also lessened her homework because she realized that it was way over the top. And then about that went well for about 2 months or so, and then she started creeping it back up. And then I said, wait a minute. I went back in. She said, oh, thank you. And she backed off again.
Yeah, because sometimes teachers do that.
You know, they need to be kids. They need to be able to play, too. They do need that free time. If you would like a complimentary 30-minute consultation with me where you can get your burning questions answered, I'm happy to do that. I do that all the time. And whether your kids have ADHD, dyslexia, a learning disability, what have you, I'm happy to answer your questions regarding learning with your kids or even adults or grandkids. I've even had moms in their 80s call about their kids that were in their 50s that were struggling and he's having trouble holding down a job due to his reading disability. Can you help? I said, well, let's give it a shot. And he not only improved, in fact, on his second day, he turned and looked at me and said, I'm improving. I almost started crying. He not only improved, but then he was able to get another job and hold it. So it was great. So it doesn't matter what your age, you can improve your skills. So I'm offering a 30-minute complimentary consultation. And to access that, you can just go to BonnieTerryLearning.com. So I'll spell that out. B as in boy, O-N-N-I-E, T as in Tom, E-R-R-Y-L-E-A-R-N-I-N-G. So BonnieTerryLearning.com.
That's such a valuable thing for people to take advantage of. Thank you so much for your time, Bonnie. This has been so informative.
Well, you're most welcome. You're most welcome. Like I say, my life is all about making learning easy. And the best way to do that is to understand what's going on. And, man, life can get so much better. Learning just doesn't have to be so hard. Reading, writing, spelling, math, study skills, all of it can improve quite rapidly. There's no magic pill, and everybody's always looking for that magic pill. But you're going to have to do a little bit of work, about 20 minutes a day. But learning can become so much easier. And when it does, your kids can live the life of their dreams. And isn't that what you want? You want them to be able to put a roof over their head, food on the table, and be happy with what they're doing.
The message, Bonnie, is there is a lot of hope for people with dyslexia, ADD, learning disabilities. There is a lot of hope in the future.
Exactly, exactly. I've seen it over the years. I run into the grocery store sometimes, and one of my former students' moms works there. And, gosh, I was working with her kid 20 years ago, and every time I see her, she'll say, his success is all due to you. He never would have been able to. He wouldn't be doing what he's doing if it wasn't for you. Thank you so much. And again, you feel like starting to cry. I mean, it's just amazing the magic that can happen when you're doing the right thing. You can do all kinds of things, and it's not that they're not good things, but if it's not what your child really needs, you're kind of wasting their time, and they're not making the improvement you want. And it's sad. I had a parent that said, can we use this particular program as a trade for your services? And I said, well, if it didn't work for you with him, why would it work for me with him?
Right.
And the bottom line is that particular program, it was a good program, but it was not addressing their son's root causes of learning problems. That particular area was okay. He had other things that were problematic. So when you're throwing things at the wall, going, well, I'll try this and I'll try that, rather than, okay, what are the root causes of the problems? If I can figure that out, then we can actually do what we should be doing to address it. And again, they're learned skills. They can get better. So there's so much hope out there, and we can change the world. It's exciting.
It is, and that's a great reason why everybody should hop over to your site and take advantage of that free 30-minute consultation with you.
Exactly.
Thanks so much for talking with us today, Bonnie.
You're welcome. Take care. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.